Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming out tomorrow, September 29th, it's a new book called The Q Factor, and it's authored by Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick and also James Dale. And the idea of the book is that Brian Billick takes a deep dive into the highly promising 2018 NFL quarterback draft class and measures the top five quarterback picks in that draft to gauge how, why, and if they will succeed. And now joining us is a Super Bowl winning head coach in Brian Billick. Coach, thanks for the time. Congrats on the book, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So I know this isn't an easy process, and scouting quarterbacks, you may think you have the answer, you may not end up getting it. But I look back at that 2018 draft class, and you really start with Lamar Jackson. Some were trying to get him to change positions, and then we eventually see him take over, and he wins an MVP. First year also took a team to the playoffs, and last year had a playoff appearance as well. Jackson was the fifth quarterback taken out of that bunch with Baker Mayfield, you had Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen. What did a lot of other teams miss on Lamar Jackson? Because he's been the best through, you know, his first 2 years in the league.
Well, that's clearly what the book really is about. It's about the process. Certainly the 2018 draft, which was supposedly one of the best quarterback drafts since the 1983 draft, we use that as a backdrop to really look at the process. And you have to question the process, because at the end of the day, no matter what criteria you use, taking a first-round quarterback in the first round is a 50-50 proposition. And in what process, in what world do you take Josh Rosen at number 10 and Lamar Jackson at 32? In what process do you take a Mitchell Trubisky at 1 and let Patrick Mahomes go to 10 and Deshaun Watson at 12? It's a question worth asking in terms of the way you evaluate this, what the process is, and where is it flawed that leaves us with those kind of decisions.
When Lamar Jackson was coming out of Louisville, did you have concerns about him, or did you think that this guy was going to be a special player when he got his opportunity?
Well, what we identify in the book, and the book begins by looking at what the pre-draft analysis was, and we didn't alter it in terms of hindsight. It was here's what the prognosis is, here's what the experts say about these quarterbacks, where they were drafted, and then we tracked them for the 2 years. And clearly the questions about Lamar Jackson came about, well, can that style of play really be successful in the NFL? Can he survive? He's certainly an outstanding athlete. But can he? Is his completion percentage, his ability to operate from the pocket, where ultimately you have to win to be a winning NFL quarterback, would that translate into the NFL? There's a lot of people who did not think it would. Others thought that he was a unique enough talent. The Baltimore Ravens did a phenomenal job of working back into the – and a lot of people thought he would be a second-round pick. So the Baltimore Ravens manipulated their way into the last pick of the first round to pick him, and obviously has yielded great success, because as you said, he's an MVP. And more importantly than just picking the guy, they bought in as an organization that said, look, we're going to let him run the ball 170, 180 times on the year. Most NFL people would say, no, you can't survive that way. So far, so good. But like we say, you know, you're going to have to wait and see. It's not a problem until it's a problem, and he gets that hit that does leave him vulnerable for injury.
As a coach, and hey, you take your franchise quarterback when you could get him, but Brian Billick, would you prefer the mobile quarterback in the era that we're now in, where that seems to be the trend, or would you still prefer the traditional passing quarterback?
Well, I think clearly
pocket passing.
Yeah, we clearly, you have to be able to win from the pocket, is my firm belief. Now, the athleticism to do some additional things on the outside certainly is important. Aaron Rodgers, who is that traditional quarterback from the pocket, also does some additional things outside the pocket. So you have to kind of qualify it. That pure pocket guy that can do nothing else, that does seem limiting right now. But by the same token, it's not a matter of just taking an athlete that does a bunch of things on the outside but can't operate from the pocket. You can't have an athlete that is a thrower and win in the NFL. If you have a quarterback that's an athlete, now you got a chance.
When you look at Lamar Jackson, do you believe in his ability to win a Super Bowl for the Ravens one day?
Oh, certainly, because they've got the structure to do it. They've got the pedigree, and they believe in what they're doing, and they're fully committed to letting him be Lamar Jackson. And like I said, it's not a problem until it's a problem. He doesn't do it a little bit differently. There are still issues with throwing outside the numbers and some of the completions that he misses. But obviously, he's such a – I mean, he's a unicorn. He really is. I mean, everybody's saying, well, let's just go get a Lamar Jackson. And my response is, well, hold on. There's not a lot of cats like that running around, so you just don't go out and get another Lamar Jackson. But can he, with the defense that they traditionally play there, their ability to just bludgeon you with their running attack, can they be, in today's game, a Super Bowl-caliber team and win a Super Bowl? Absolutely.
The Q Factor is the name of the book. It's authored by Brian Billick and James Dale. Brian Billick is here with me on CBS Sports Radio. It does come out tomorrow. So when we look at the rest of that draft class, Baker Mayfield was taken first overall. He's been up and down in his career. Now it seems as if the success for the Browns is to run the football first and have Baker manage the game. What's the ceiling for Baker Mayfield, in your opinion? What type of quarterback can he turn into that we're not seeing so far?
Well, we've seen both, and that's the thing, that the observation you can make about all these quarterbacks. To borrow a phrase from my mentor, and God rest his soul, Denny Green, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
In other words, the questions we had coming in with Baker Mayfield, it was about the emotional and mental ability to handle the game. And we've seen signs of it where it can be pretty good. We see signs where it isn't. He embraces this gunslinger mentality, which is great as long as you can produce that 2-touchdown-to-1-interception ratio. And at times, if the team dictates it, indeed manage the game. He did yesterday, and that's a good sign. Can he do that consistently? That remains to be seen. With Sam Darnold, the question was, can he rise above what appears to be, although he has excellent physical skills and comes from a high pedigree program, can he indeed consistently make those plays and make plays outside the design of the offense? We have questions about that still. Josh Allen was the question mark with the completion percentage. And up to last year, you had to say, well, you know, you typically don't get better at that. Well, so far this year, he's done. So he's clearly on the plus side of that 50-50 ratio that we talked about. Josh Rosen's already been waived out of the league and is on developmental squad now. The story's still yet to be written on him. And Lamar Jackson is the 32nd pick of the draft. So in and of itself, even when we get it right, we get it wrong, because a guy like Lamar Jackson isn't taken until the 32nd pick.
It's not the first time we've seen a bust in the National Football League at this position, Brian Billick, but how does Josh Rosen go from two teams to, the, like you said, being on the Bucs practice squad in such a quick span when this guy was the 10th overall pick in that draft class?
Well, and there's a long history of that in the NFL of 50-50 in terms of, you know, being successful that position or busting. Now, I will say this, as recent history will tell us, the story may not be totally written on Josh Rosen yet. I think it might likely be, but we can take the Ryan Tannehill, who I thought was too early a pick. I thought he should have been an early second-round pick, given his background, only 1 year at Texas A&M. And based on the way he performed in Miami, you'd have to say, okay, this guy's a bust. But now look what he's done going to Tennessee and the way he's flourished. The three factors that we come away with after looking at this process is, one, obviously they've got to have the basic physical and mental abilities to do it. But it's that second part of it. Do they have the emotional and mental ability to progress? Even every bust in the National Football League, most of them had the physical tools to play. But for whatever reason, they didn't have the mental or emotional stability to get it done. The third factor, and that's a key one, that's the wild card, is the team around them. Does the quarterback make the system, or does the system make the quarterback? You know, you look at Ryan Tannehill, it looks like Miami maybe was the wrong system, the wrong way they went about it, because he went to a different system and was successful. So you have to consider that as well.
And situation, like you said, is such a big part of it, because, like, I look at Baker Mayfield, they have a lot of talent. So therefore, I look at Baker, so I give him a big percentage of the blame of why it's not working. Where I look at, for example, Sam Darnold. I'm not saying Sam should just be exonerated of blame, but he doesn't have much to work with in the Jets. They're just a terrible situation right now. And you wonder if the Jets and the lack of weapons around him are going to basically put them in a position to maybe take Trevor Lawrence in the draft this year and then trade Sam Darnold.
Well, that's the decision that Joe Douglas is going to have to make, the general manager of the New York Jets, because you're right. One of the toughest things to do is to evaluate the play of a quarterback separate from what's going on around him. And you're exactly right. Baker Mayfield has the tools there. He should be good. They should be able to take advantage of that. Now, the flip side of that is he's been through a number of coordinators, a number of head coaches. That instability doesn't help. Sam Darnold, on the flip side, you're right. That roster right now is just depleted of any talent whatsoever, and they could very well end up with the first overall pick. They've got to make the tough determination. That's what Joe Douglas will do over the next 3 months, is decide, okay, is it Sam Darnold? Is it Adam Gase? Or is it the combination of the two? Or do we need to go a different direction?
Brian Billick here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. When I look at the Bills' schedule, I circle a game coming up on October 15th. It's up against the Chiefs. I don't think the Bills play the Ravens this year, but how do you think the Bills stack up against the rest of this AFC, assuming that the Chiefs and the Ravens are the two best teams in the conference?
I think very well, because they have a really good, solid defense. And we saw that in the playoffs. We saw what Sean McDermott is able to do with that defense and adapt that defense. And Josh Allen has truly, at least over three games, I mean, you look at the pace that this guy's on. The big question coming in, as we talked about, was the completion percentage, which typically doesn't get better in the NFL. It is what it is. But he has shown this year that he has taken a dramatic step in terms of the completion percentage. When you also add his physicality and his ability to run the ball, I mean, last that game, you saw it going in, I think, for the second score. They got outside the red zone. They ran three straight quarterback-designed runs, not just scrambling around, but quarterback-designed runs, one of them even a pure option play that tells you this guy, there's something, could be something special about this guy, and the way he's performing on the pace he is right now, you're looking at better than a 600-throw season, better than a 65% completion percentage, 50-some-odd touchdowns to single-digit interceptions.
Brian Billick, I want to get your thoughts on Carson Wentz. We've seen him get hurt before in his career. Last year, may have had one of his better seasons with not a lot around him, and he really led that team to the playoffs, and then unfortunately had the concussion in the playoff game. This year, all around for Philadelphia, it's been ugly. Are you starting to have doubts on Carson Wentz, or do you think he'll turn this thing around?
Well, there again, it's what's going on around it. You're talking about an offensive line that's been hurt from day one, continues to get more and more depleted, a receiving core that's in and out of the lineup. He just doesn't have any consistency out there. I don't think he has a lot to work with. So I don't know that I'm ready to say Carson Wentz is on the downward projection or not playing particularly well, because I don't think he has much going on around him.
So I know it's easy for me to say because it's not my job, but I give the Bears a pass for not taking Mahomes. The one that to me, though, is that is inexcusable, because I didn't know what Mahomes is going to be at the time, so it's tough for me to be critical of it. But once again, it's not my job. What was Deshaun Watson? That one never made any sense to me in the moment. I'll never forget being in the draft in Philadelphia that night, and when they said they traded up to get Trubisky, I never got why they didn't take Watson. What did you think about that decision now looking back at it, and what they didn't see with at least Watson on the surface?
Well, they weren't alone in that, so that you're right. It's not fair to criticize it from that hindsight perspective. Again, it's what do we look at, and what's the criteria going in? Some of the inconsistency of Patrick Mahomes, it had some people concerned. Deshaun Watson, some people thought, well, he's a product of the system, surrounded by phenomenal talent, clearly has outmatched their opponents in the ACC. So from that standpoint, you could look at the two and say, well, you know, Deshaun Watson had all the advantages compared to Mitchell Trubisky out of North Carolina, wasn't surrounded by the same kind of talent. So I think that was some of the mentality and the thought process going in. Obviously, it was flawed. Obviously, it's not the way it turned out.
Do you think part of the process that's just flawed is we're looking for things that are negative, so we see the slightest things and we go, All right, this is why you can't draft a guy?
Yeah, once we get out of the regular season, the college game, and these guys come out with certain ratings, then we just pick these guys apart.
Yeah.
Because most scouts will tell you that when it goes in, at the end of the day, you can love the guy and rate him very high, but you got to find the qualifier. You got to put the but in there just in case it doesn't work out, so you can go back and, you know, cover your backside and say, well, I told you, but, you know, he had long fingernails and I didn't like that, and I told you that wasn't going to be good. So, yeah, we all tend to do that a little bit. But that process, and again, I have to understand that the way these players jet up and down the draft boards, and it's become such an industry in itself. Bill Polian called it the draft industrial complex, to where it's taken on its own mentality, and we see players just shooting to the top of the draft and vaulting up these draft boards, when in fact it really doesn't work that way in draft rooms. Yeah, players may move up a little bit, but I think the hype around it, and that adds a whole nother level of pressure for those making the selection as well.
Last one for you, Coach Billick. The game tonight that's just about to get underway, I'm sure you're getting ready to watch it. Little Chiefs and Ravens, what decides this game tonight, in your opinion?
Well, probably whoever has the ball in their hands last when he gets done. Two dynamic offenses. Challenge for these defenses. They can't allow the big, deep pass down the field, but in doing so and being passive, you know, Patrick Mahomes can kill you underneath, hit you with his legs occasionally. The Ravens, if you go too passive, don't build the box, stay passive so they don't get the big plays to Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews. They'll just bludgeon you to death with that running game with Ingram, Jackson, and, of course, now Dobbins as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a great game. I think that whoever has it in their hands last is probably going to be the team that wins.
Make sure you get the book tomorrow. That's when it's released, The Q Factor by Brian Billick and James Dale. Once again, former NFL coach Brian Billick takes the highly promising 2018 NFL quarterback draft class and measures the top five quarterback picks to gauge how, why, and if they succeed. Coach, congrats on the books. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.